Bono, in an interview with a French journalist several years ago, said this, but it really sank in for me, the Christmas story. The idea that God, if there is a force of love and logic in the universe, that it would seek to explain itself is amazing enough. That it would seek to explain itself and describe itself by becoming a child born in straw poverty, in shit and straw, a child. I just thought, wow, just the poetry. Unknowable love, unknowable power describes itself as the most vulnerable. I was just sitting there, and it's not that it hadn't struck me before, but tears came down my face, and I saw the genius of this, the utter genius of picking a particular point in time and deciding to turn on this. There's poetry. Poetry of the fact that Jesus came to us in, quite honestly, shit and straw, in the middle of a beautiful mess, full of fragile wonder. There was a young woman named Mary. She was pledged to be married to Joseph. When an angel came to her and said, Mary, you are going to become pregnant and bear a child that is going to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Mary was naturally a little confused. She said, I know how babies are made. And I haven't ever, well, yet, you know. And the angel said, don't worry, this child will be put in you by God himself. Mary was a little afraid, unsure, perplexed, amazed. Nevertheless, she moved forward in faith. She said, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me as you have said. When Joseph found out Mary was pregnant, he wasn't too happy. And while he was trying to sort through his feelings and contemplate exactly what he should do, an angel appeared to Joseph and said, don't be afraid, take Mary as your wife. For the child she is carrying is from God. She has done nothing wrong. In fact, she's been honored and chosen by God. And Joseph was a little amazed and perplexed and confused and maybe a little afraid. Nevertheless, he moves forward in faith and says, okay. And then the two are sent to Bethlehem, a small village outside the city of Jerusalem, to take a census that's been ordered by the Roman Empire. And while they're in the city, the due date arrives, but there is nowhere for them to stay. So they take shelter in a stable, a place used to house and feed animals. And in that place, Mary gives birth to a son and gives him the name Jesus, or in Hebrew, Yeshua, Joshua, meaning God saves. And the Jews certainly needed a savior. They were living at a time of extreme violence, stress, uncertainty. The world was a mess. There was financial stress, economic stress, family stress, religious stress. What a mess. And into the middle of that mess that the world was in at the time, in the middle of the mess, the you-know-what and straw that was there on the barnyard floor, God appears. And not only does God appear, but in the weakened body of an infant, not very strong, vulnerable to forces of darkness and evil, unable to do much of anything except walk. Can't even walk or talk yet. Just to eat and be dependent upon others. That's how God chooses to reveal himself. It's a fragile, vulnerable wonder and amazement of how God came. But what makes this story so powerful is not that it happened, but that it continues to happen. So in our world, in the mess of our world, the Son of God comes and he enters into your and mine's beautiful mess, and he's full of fragile wonder. For let's be honest, sometimes our lives don't look much better than a messy stable, do they? If we actually open the door and let someone peek in. We're full of all kinds of stress. We don't know what's going on. We're confused. We're perplexed. We're a little afraid. And all before 9 a.m. in the morning. And in those moments when we're just really raw and honest with ourselves, in those quiet moments, we come face to face with our vulnerability, don't we? That life is fragile and precarious. That we are really financially vulnerable. We are emotionally vulnerable. In all kinds of ways vulnerable. And our hope sometimes is really shaky. And our joy is just a trickle. And we feel like Bilbo Baggins said in Lord of the Rings, like butter that's spread over too much bread. We just feel thin. We're fragile. And our own stories are full of twists and turns, just like Mary and Joseph's, aren't they? Have you ever doubted someone that you loved? Have you ever been frustrated that you had to do something the government said you had to do, which seemed unnecessary and capricious? I thought I'd get an amen on that. I got a couple of nods. Yeah, I got a couple of nods on that, right? We know this story a little bit. And for some of us, have you ever brought a child into the world and thought, what on earth am I doing? I'm not prepared for this. I'm not ready. I'm in over my head. My life is not neat and tidy. Well, maybe that's not your mess. But reality would seem to suggest that each one of us is a mess, if we're honest. Most of us are not living the lives that we thought we would live. And if nothing else relates to you this morning, then just think for 2 seconds about this world that we live in and the mess of a place that it is right now. Amen. And there's a lot of vulnerability, and there's a lot of fragility. There's a lot of danger around the corner. But into this mess of the world and into the mess of our lives, comes the Son of God. Amen. And he comes just to be with us. And so we celebrate Christmas every year. And the message of Christmas is that God is now with us. Emmanuel. What we sang, Emmanuel, simply means God with us. Amen. It's what the people of Israel, the people of God, had longed for. It's what we continue to long for. Every man, woman, and child of this world. That there would be someone that would come and be with us. Someone who would care. Someone who would show up when we needed someone to show up. And so Jesus comes into our lives today. And he comes in much the same way. He comes just to be with us. To sit down with us. To share life with us. To listen to us. To walk with us. Jesus comes into our lives, and this is his simple declaration. My presence is enough for you. For my grace is sufficient, and my power is made perfect in your weakness. And my love is stronger than anything you have to face. And my faith in you is undiminished. Therefore, I am here, and I will never leave you.
Praise Jesus.
And the message today is that his presence is enough. In fact, it's more than enough. In many ways, Jesus comes and he stands and he lights a candle with us, right? And why do we light candles? Why do we set up memorials? You remember the menorah from last week, the celebration of the miracle of Hanukkah. We've added to it this week candles that people might set up on a street corner or outside a grocery store or maybe against a fence where there would be a memorial, right? To remember something that has happened. And there's been far too many of them in the city of Hartford this year. And there's been far too many tragedies in the world for which we have had to light candles. But what do we do when we show up at that memorial? How many of you have been to a memorial this year? The sad thing is it should be every single hand in this place. Because you should care about what's going on. So 2 weeks from today, at the end of our service, we're going to go outside and we're going to have a prayer vigil. So you all get to do one before the year's out. Is that funny? Yeah, if I say you should do it, then I actually give you a chance to do it. You know, that's how it works. And we're going to pray for the city of Hartford. And we're going to pray for peace for 2016, that it would be a better year. But back to the memorial, back to the vigil. What do we do when we do? When we come, right? We come, we stand, we show up, we hold our candle. I don't have any answers. I don't have a plan. I didn't come with a program. I didn't come with a lot of money. I didn't come with a lot of things. But I just came because I felt like I needed to be there. So I light a candle, and what I say is, in the middle of your pain, who's ever suffering, whoever remembering, I say, I'm with you, and I'm for you, right? And that's exactly what Jesus does. He stands next to us, and he says, I'm with you, and I'm for you. And that news is really good news. It's really comforting for those who understand it. But there are some who don't, right? And even now, some of you are a little bit fidgety about that. Why? Because you want God to do something, right? Jesus, I'm glad you showed up, but something needs to be done. You can't just stand here and say, okay, I'm with you, I'm for you. Well, what are you going to do in my life? And here's the danger, friends. We begin to treat Jesus more like a repair person in our home than a family member come to dinner. Amen. Let's be honest. We want Jesus to fix things. We don't really want him to sit down and eat with us. We want to fix the problems of poverty. We don't really want to sit and have dinner among the poor. We want someone to fix the problems of those teenagers that are too wild and rebellious. We don't actually want to hang out with them for a couple hours and listen to their stories. Well, that's not my gift. Well, what is your gift? Sitting in your house, hoping someone will change the world?
Amen.
Well, guess what? Jesus is sitting with you too. That's what I love about Jesus. It don't matter where you are. You may be like, I don't even know what to do. I'm just going to sit in my house because I don't even know what to do. And Jesus comes in, he sits down right next to you on your couch and says, yep, I'm here too. Let's figure this out. Because listen, here's what happens. Jesus wants to change you. Jesus wants to change people. When we invite Jesus into our life, it's not like Jesus is some kind of home decorator or some kind of construction specialist where he's just going to rearrange things and make things look better on the outside. Jesus wants to change what's on the inside. And when we at Hartford City Church talk about experiencing God's beautiful restoration, it's not necessarily about our circumstances in the beginning. It begins with us. It begins, the beautiful restoration is in our heart. It's in our lives. So that your life may not look beautiful. Your life may still look messy. Your life may still look like it's not all together. But you, through the power and the presence of God, become beautiful in the midst of it. Like the baby Jesus, beautiful in the midst of the doo-doo in the straw. Your life becomes beautiful in the presence of God. Jesus doesn't come into your life and turn on the Christmas lights around you. He wants to shine in you and let you be the light of Christmas that shines in the midst of your circumstances. That's the beautiful restoration. That's the work God is doing. And here's the thing, friends. He loves you so deeply and so much, and he loves your family and your friends so deeply and so much that he is at work in their lives. But it's his work, and sometimes we don't see it, and sometimes it's slow, and sometimes we're not sure what's going on. But Jesus said, my Father is always at work. So that even when we rest and we go to sleep, we know that there is a God who watches over us, as the Psalms say, who doesn't need to sleep or slumber, but every step we take, he's watching over us, and he's working out a plan that is going to be far greater than anything we can imagine or come up with on our own.
Hallelujah.
Is that good news? Amen? Is that good news? It's such good news because it's not what's like. It's like God is with us saying, hey, hang on, it's okay. There's work going on. And yet he's there working too. One without the other, we wouldn't know. If we just had Jesus and we didn't know that his Father was working, we'd be like, okay, what's happening in my life? Or if God was working in some mysterious way that he never tells us about, then that doesn't mean anything. But he says, listen, I'm like a partnership. You know, there's three of us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all right? We can cover a lot of ground. We can be with you, and we can be working on things as well. And everything's coming together for God's plan. And you need to trust in that. But here's the first step this morning. My message this morning is this, and I'm actually done, to be honest with you. It's very simple. God is with you, and God is for you. And if anything you get out of this gathering, if anything you get out of being a part of this church, this body of Christ, is I want you to experience the power of the presence of Christ every time that we meet and every day in your life, if possible. For if you were to experience the power of the presence of a God who comes and stands with you in the middle of your shit and says, I'm for you, it doesn't bother me, we're working on this together, and you are beautiful. You are beautiful in the midst of it. Man, that's all we need. So how do we do that? There's a few things I want to share with you, three or four. First, you need to invite Christ into your life. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that in just a minute. You need to invite him in. You need to say yes. I mean, he's there, he's waiting, he's willing. But it seems pretty clear that he wants a response from us. He doesn't want to force us to do anything. He doesn't want to ignore it. He wants there to be a legitimate invitation that says, yes, Jesus, yes, God, come into my life. You got to open up your heart. If you never open up your heart, open up your life to him, you won't understand his presence. You won't know what's going on. The first step is to receive the invitation that Jesus gives you and then invite Jesus to come into your life. That's the first step, okay? Second step is to imagine Jesus. There was a monk in the 1100s, 1200s named Brother Lawrence. And he wrote this beautiful little book called Practicing the Presence of God. And he developed this way that he would practice God's presence. So if I'm in my garden working, and I know Jesus is with me, I'm going to practice mentally picturing Jesus in the garden, working next to me in the garden. And we would begin this conversation. So how can you do that? Well, you can imagine that Jesus is there and begin a conversation with him, right? There's a great song that I found on YouTube a couple years ago called If I Could Have a Beer with Jesus. Surprise, surprise, it's a country song. I mean, really, let's be honest, okay? If I could have a beer with Jesus. Okay, so I don't know what your drink of choice is. Some of you I do, some of you I don't. Maybe it's a glass of wine, maybe it's a cup of coffee, maybe it's a thing of tea, maybe it's sparkling mineral water, you know, maybe it's a sports energy drink. Whatever it is, just picture yourself sitting down and having that drink with Jesus and just talking about it. And you just practice it. It may not come at first. It may not come right away. But practice recognizing the presence of Christ is with you in every situation. When you're driving in your car, just say, Jesus is here sitting with me. Oh, friends, it would keep you out of trouble if you sometimes recognize that Jesus was there with you, you know. As you're walking into somewhere that you shouldn't be going to. And all of a sudden you remember, hey, Jesus is coming in here with me. Interesting. But practice the presence of Jesus. Invite him into your life. And then practice his presence by imagining, invite and imagine what that conversation is like with Jesus. The next step is to begin to pay attention to where God is in the world. To pay attention. For wherever you find love, true love that moves your heart, there you will find God. Amen. Wherever you find joy, true joy, you will find God. Wherever you find peace, true peace, you will find God. And in those places, you need to be the person. As a follower of Christ, one of the things we get to do is walk into those places. And those things that move people that they can't quite understand. I don't know what I'm experiencing. I'm full of emotions. I don't even know why. Like some of you do when you see those commercials at the holidays, right? You get all choked up. You don't even know why you're getting choked up. It's just a stupid commercial. But something's happening inside of you. That thing that's happening, that's God. That's God. And you need to learn to recognize where God is at work. Pay attention to the things that he's doing. Pay attention because sometimes God is trying to get our attention. And it's just like this nagging feeling in the back of our mind, right? And maybe we need to just stop and listen to God. There's another one, right? Stop. I call it what we used to tell kids to do. Stop, look, and listen if you want to find God. Sometimes we just need to stop. And you know what happens when I stop? God runs into me because he's been chasing me. Here I've been chasing God. And when I finally stop, I realize he's been chasing me. And he just wanted me to stop for a minute so he could sit down and have a conversation with me, right? And I need to look. I need to look to see where I can find God. And I need to listen. I need to listen. The Bible says if anyone speaks, he should speak or she should speak as though you were speaking the very words of God. And I try to practice that. When I sit down with you and you're talking to me and I know that you have the Spirit of God in you, I'm listening because God may be speaking through you. That may be God right there. I'm listening. Part of it is expectation, right? We often get what we expect. If I don't expect to see God, then I probably won't. If I don't expect to hear from God today, then I probably won't. If I don't expect to feel his presence, then I probably won't. If I don't expect any more of the supernatural power of God in my life, that I probably won't. Because I'm not looking for it. I'm not listening for it. I'm not recognizing. I'm not stopping doing what I'm doing long enough to listen. I don't have the imagination to lead me into the reality of the truth that the presence of Christ is there with me. And he wants to communicate with me. The power and the presence of Christ. That's what I long for each and every one of us. That's what I pray for. Honestly pray for each and every one of us. So I want to give us a chance to experience in these next few moments that we have together, okay? So I'm going to invite you to pray right now. I invite you just to pray, just to take a couple deep breaths, and to just center yourself before God. And I want you to reflect on Jesus Emmanuel, that God is with us. And as we do that, we're going to listen to the Fragile Wonder again. We're going to listen to this song that talks about God being with us. And God being for us. Lord Jesus Christ, in this moment and in this place, We want to acknowledge that you are here. We want to reflect upon the fact that you came to be with us and to be for us. And that you came as a little baby, fragile, full of wonder. That you didn't come in a hurry to do things, but with time and space to simply be with us. And I thank you for that, Jesus. As we listen to the words of this song, as we meditate upon this, at this moment in our service, we're also going to collect our offering. So in just a few minutes, we're going to give you a couple minutes of silence. In just a couple minutes, the offering cans will be passed. If you want to give, you can give. That helps support the ministry. You can also give online. But we're just going to allow you to have an opportunity to do that in your seats this morning as we reflect and as we worship together on this truth of Emmanuel, God with us. an opportunity this morning that if you need to invite Jesus into your life to do that. So I just want to create a space for that. I'm not going to ask you to do anything except just be honest in the place where you're at. Is your heart closed to Christ? Or is it open to God? And if you need your heart open to God, I just invite you to pray this with me. Say, God, I invite you to come into my life. Jesus Christ, I invite you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to come and to be with me now and forever. If you pray that simple prayer, God will come into your life and begin to do amazing things. And I pray that you would have a sense of the peace that God is with you, that God is for you, and that even this week you might even begin to practice his presence by paying attention, looking around, listening, imagining conversations with God, allowing him to do that. As part of our service this morning, we also wanted to remember the things that have happened in this world that have caused such tragedy, and we wanted to take a moment, an extended moment, to pray for that. So again, there's freedom in this place. If you'd like to stand up during this time of prayer, feel free to stand. If you'd like to sit down, you may. If you're able to kneel somewhere, you can kneel down as well. But let's take a moment. Jay, can you bring up the slide? We've lit candles today for these things, among many others. For the terrorist attacks in Paris, France. For the Boko Haram terror attacks in Nigeria. For the deadly bombings in Beirut, Lebanon. For the shooting in San Bernardino, California. For the retaliation on innocent Muslims, for the Syrian refugee crisis, for the homicides in Hartford, for Black Lives Matter, for the gang violence in Chicago, for the Planned Parenthood shooting, among many others. We light candles today, and we pray, and we say that we stand together, asking God to be with us and for us in the midst of this. So I've invited three people to come and to lead us in prayers as we close this morning. So
just bow your heads. You know, I'm gonna go a little off track here this morning before I read this prayer. Got to talk to a gentleman outside this morning, you know, his friend was shot not too long ago, and I asked him if I could pray for him, and he said yes, and he said that this was a true blessing to have this church here. So I got to pray for him, and you know, he said, help my friend in heaven know that I'm not alone here. So I'm going to pray this prayer for reconciliation. God of compassion, you sent Jesus to proclaim a time of mercy, reaching out to those who had no voice, releasing those trapped by their own shame, and welcoming those scorned by society. Make us the ambassadors of reconciliation. Open our ears that we may listen with respect and understanding. Touch our lips that we may speak your words of peace and forgiveness. Warm our hearts that we may bring wholeness to the brokenhearted and dissolve the barriers of division. Guide the work of your church and renew us with the spirit of your love. Help us and all people shape a world where all will have a place, where the flames of hatred are quenched, and where all can grow together as one. And Lord, forgive, restore, and strengthen us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
a prayer for peace. Compassionate God and Father of all, we are horrified at violence in so many parts of the world. It seems that none are safe and some are terrified. Hold back the hands that kill and maim.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, turn around the hearts that hate.
Yes, Lord.
Grant instead your strong spirit of peace.
Yes, Lord.
A peace that passes our understanding.
Thank you, Jesus.
But changes lives through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
This is a prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born again to eternal life.